Okay, this is the hour. We call it Conversations with Linda. Your phone calls, your special stories with her when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. You know the old saying, Linda, these are the best of times, these are the worst of times. I think that's what we're in right now, don't you?
I don't know if it's the best of times in any direction, though, is it?
Yeah, there's some bright spots, I think. Not a lot.
Well, I would say it's a very agitated planet with very agitated people.
Yeah, I think so, too. We're seeing that. I've been doing over the last week or so, Linda, a series of reports on just why people are so whacked out. Case in point, and here's another one, great assignment for you.
Mm-hmm.
These people on planes, these pilots
right.
and flight attendants that are going berserk,
right.
something's going on here.
Well, it is puzzling that there's been a rash. But I found it very interesting to read, for example, about the Army man, I guess he was in the Marines, Bales in Afghanistan,
yeah.
that within 2 weeks of that irrational, whatever you want to call it, that the military withdrew the specific malaria that has been associated with episodes of psychosis in lots of people. Why in the world would they have continued even using a medicine that they knew caused erratic psychosis in people? And there we are down to a bottom line that there are probably all kinds of medicines, drugs, chemistries that are being used by people that can set off psychoses, whether they are temporary or going to become permanent, and that we are living at a time when very few people understand what is happening in their bodies with the chemistries that they can either buy in a pharmacy or that they can buy off of a street. And I personally think it is a huge danger. It's not a mystery. It is a contamination, just like the pesticides are to bees. There are huge contaminations to the human mind and body now, and people just are not educated at all.
No, not at all. Let's go to your calls, Linda, as they stack up here. We'll go to Nashville, Tennessee. Monica's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Monica, good morning.
Morning.
Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was listening to the story about all the people that are hearing the explosions and booms and things.
Right.
Yeah.
And I lived in Orlando for a little while, and I experienced my first sonic boom, and it sounds a lot like what these people are describing. And is there any kind of relation that that may be what these people are hearing?
The police, pilots, all kinds of professional people that have been jolted by the current round of this booming explosive sound, they're very familiar with planes breaking the sound barrier. And everybody, to all of them, say that what they have experienced physically and to their ears and to their mind is nothing like a plane breaking the sound barrier.
Okay, thank you.
Because the sound, in addition to the metallic sound quality of something crashing or dynamite blowing up, the people are generally being jolted by their feet from below.
Yeah, well, that sounds like the planet's beginning to do its growling, doesn't it?
Well, it is really puzzling. The breadth, the width of what people have been offering as possible explanations, ranging from seismic activity, which seismologists say does not make sense, to solar physicists who say, no, it's not magnetic fields interacting with the Earth's ionosphere or with the magnetic fields, could something of a military nature be taking place underground? Could we be creating underground tunnels and structures for reasons that are classified and they cannot say? In many ways, I think that's more likely.
Well, that may be. Let's go next to Memphis, Tennessee. Cameron is with us, first-time caller. Hi, Cameron.
Hey, George. What I think it is, the sonic booms that people are hearing underground, I think that's exactly what Linda said, that they mm-hmm. could be some military underground bases. And, this it's extremely fascinating to think that, you know, that that's what that could be, you know, because people have heard, you know, as she said, like metallic sounds. And what I think it is some kind of underground facilities, you know. I wouldn't know how big they are, but that would be more of the case of anything else.
Well, what makes it even more puzzling, though, is that just in the time since February to March, that we have boom sounds that are being described as these singular jolts from Canada through at least 14 other states in the United States, and the geographic expansion with the time frames being so narrow, where Georgia and Alabama were within 12 days of the booms starting in Clintonville, Wisconsin. And in Clintonville, Wisconsin, they didn't know about Georgia and Alabama or vice versa. And then on March 20th, the very day that I was interviewing Lisa Coos, that 80 miles southwest in Montello, that they would be having booms. And it is as if whatever we're dealing with, it is focused in geographic areas, even though five counties in Georgia seems like a huge amount of acreage for something to shake so many people so heavily. What in the world could do that to five counties?
Maybe they're building underground bunkers. Maybe all that is true, huh?
Well, right now, that is, I suppose, as logical as a dozen other efforts for people to try to tie this to things like the sun and earthquakes. I'm puzzled because there are ideas that maybe there could be something more seismic going on in the earth that we have not experienced quite before, and that the Ring of Fire is very active right now. But the Ring of Fire has been active in the past, and even though there have been mythologies or let's say legends about things like the Seneca guns on the East Coast and so forth through, say, going back into the 1800s, I don't think in my lifetime, you tell me, that I've ever heard from so many people and authorities that include police, fire, pilots, who are describing a jolting sound that rocks their body as if dynamite or a car or train crash has happened near them. That is an extraordinary description.
It sure is. Lloyd is in Lebanon, Oregon, and now on Coast to Coast. Hey, Lloyd, go ahead.
Hey, it's an honor to talk to you, George, and wow, it's a great honor to talk to you too, Linda.
Thank you.
You know, why can't it be the sun? It seems to me a little unreasonable to think it's military because it's spread out so far and through so many states. I just can't imagine that kind of money. And the sun, with all this activity going on, that thing that happened up in Russia, wasn't it Russia where all the trees went down to the ground that leveled it all out? They were thinking maybe it might have been an asteroid or a comet that came close to the surface of the Earth.
That was
why couldn't it be? Wind is invisible.
Tunguska.
Lightning makes a huge bang sound when it hits. Why couldn't it be the pressure that all this stuff coming from the sun hitting the earth, going down inside the earth reverberates it back and causes a big bang everywhere.
So you've put a lot of things together in a stew pot. The Tunguska, we don't know for sure, but it may have been a comet or an asteroid that exploded. The sun, in terms of what it interacts, what comes off of the sun to the earth pretty regularly, and remember, the sun has been doing solar maxes for its entire life in the solar system. So the plasma, the substance, the matter off of the sun that comes into the ionosphere and the magnetic fields of this earth is not something that would be associated with percussive rattling of the ground, jolting underneath the ground and causing people to be stunned by how their body is rocked by something that seems to be exploding below them or near them. the sun and the plasmas from the sun are not associated with any kind of physical mechanism like that. So we have phenomena that are, that seems to be unique in the close-up, I'm going to say sort of violent, hope that's not overstating it, meaning that anything that jolts somebody and they feel and associate it with dynamite, trains crashing, cars crashing, huge, huge loud sounds, but it seems to be focused in a tiny area, that is highly peculiar.
Well, it sure is. Okay, let's go now to our wild card lines. Catalina, we go in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. Hi, Catalina.
Oh, hey, good morning. Good morning, George, Linda.
Hi.
Hope you're doing well today. I recently met four young Japanese women. They all had very young children, like 2 years old, toddlers. And they said that they had gotten financial assistance from the Japanese government to leave the country. They had to leave for a minimum of 3 years, and they were told they were not allowed to relocate to the west coast of the United States. So that really says that the government knows a lot more than they're letting on, and if the U.S. government is facilitating this, then they know about this exodus of young women and children from Japan.
Well,
and
could
how
you,
the Japanese government is funding it.
Yeah, could you possibly email me at earthfiles@earthfiles.com with, if you can, any more details about the source of the government's, I'm going to say, communicating with a family that had young children. I'd like to know if there is some policy that hasn't been publicized. I do know that just like the professor that I've reported about on Earth Files and Coast and Dreamland in the last 4 or 5 months, that because some people are educated enough with handling equipment that measures radioactivity, they have been alarmed enough in places that they live in Japan that they want out, and they're making steps to do that. In this case, it would be very interesting to learn if the family, the parent, somebody learned about radioactivity in their area and they went to some official, and the official may have told them to not talk about it, but that they would help them to move. It may be something like that, and I would like to know if that's possible.
Well, I got the idea that these women were very reluctant to speak, and it was really only one of them that came forward with this information. The other ones were, you know, nodding in agreement, but they seemed very, you know, reluctant to you know, let me know that.
Well, another
I also wanted to ask if you've done any research regarding HARP. A lot of people have said that unusual HARP activity has been associated with the Japanese earthquake and disaster.
I don't know why the HARP mythology continues to perpetuate. Michael Kelly at Cornell University, who was involved in the original design and construction, told me 5 years ago it didn't work. The government contract that was with the Navy and the Air Force expired. HARP in Gakona as a project ceased. That doesn't mean that there are not several places on the planet, ranging from Northern Europe to Arecibo, to Gakona, and to other places that where scientists try to experiment with the ionosphere. But here is a practical issue. Every time you hear somebody irresponsibly throw out the word HARP, if you send up any energy into the ionosphere, as soon as sunlight hits that part of the ionosphere that you're trying to experiment in, everything you're doing is obliterated because the energy of the sun is so overwhelming. I attended a conference in Santa Fe with ionospheric physicists, and this was their biggest problem, how to organize any kind of experiments in which they can work in and around the 24-hour cycle of any point on the planet where the sun is going to hit and obliterate. And I don't know why the mythology around HARP has become so skewed and is now out of balance to what it was, is no more, and that researching with the ionosphere is difficult and complex. So that's not an issue as far as I know.
Okay, we've got time for a couple more before the break. Peter in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Hi, Peter.
Hi, how are you? I have explanations for both. I have explanations for both subjects that are completely different.
Okay, go ahead.
One, if it was natural phenomena, nature destroys. So the peculiar thing is, this is going on all over the world, you sound. So the peculiar thing is no one has been destroyed. Okay. Second of all, it's metallic. Okay. So I think that what the message of these sounds is, wake up. And these sounds are being created by highly advanced intergalactic forces. And so the question becomes, what's to follow? So we could expect that the Earth may be surrounded by intergalactic ships and that the message is going to be stop all war, okay? So generally speaking, that's a perspective on that. Now, on the Fukushima disaster, well, there's disasters going on all over the Earth, okay? So now keep this in mind. All matter is the thought of the Creator. So the Creator can change anything, shift things from dimension to dimension quite easily. So I believe that the Earth is in effect being destroyed and that there's going to be a dimensional shift of the Earth and that all those people who are capable of living on the Earth peacefully and constructively are going to shift to another dimension, which is going to be safe, and all those people who only create war and misery are going to stay on the Earth while it perishes. And that's what I have to say.
All right. That's a lot of food for thought there, Linda.
Well, it's philosophical. There's no hard evidence. And I try as best I can to go after the pressure of fact to share.
Well, yes, you do. We'll just have to wait around on that situation.
Well, if I can get a definite, substantive answer, I will call you up and say, I've got an answer.
Linda, a minute before the break, what's new on earthfiles.com?
Well, I have a kind of a difficult, complex story that I'm working on that will be related to this question about timelines, but from a pure physics point of view and what is happening in the CERN and what we may or may not learn from some of the research that they're doing. And right now, it appears that the neutrino is not faster than the photon and the universe is settling back into Einsteinian relativity. That may or may not have an impact on the issue of can we go backwards in time. If the neutrino were faster than the photon, it would be probably inevitable to do. Now the universe seems to be shifting back into the before neutrino was faster. And I personally think this is some of the more interesting work on the planet, and I hope to do a lot of reports about it.
Okay, stay with us. Back with more questions with Linda Moulton Howe on Coast to Coast AM. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, of course, those Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. And when we come back, we'll finish up with Conversations with Linda on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we go with final phone calls. Let's go to Racine, Wisconsin. Tim's with us on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, George and Linda, how you doing?
Hi. Good.
I wish I had more people like you guys, that's for sure. Let everybody know what's going on. I got like a couple of suggestions maybe, and I'll just take my answer off the air.
Okay.
In Illinois, there was like a seismic activity. Maybe there's a fault line or something. Or what about Lake Yellowstone or something? And I can buy into the government thing too. Story. I can see them doing something like that.
Well, me too. Of course, you know, the New Madrid Fault does reach into the Illinois area barely, but it does get up there. Always a possibility. Go ahead.
Let me share an email that I got during the break. This is from Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. I wanted to let you know that the strange booms have been heard here in January and in March. There have been some others too. I did not hear them myself as they were loudest in Souk. I'm not certain I'm pronouncing that correctly, Sroke. I know that souk has been in a lot of the lists of strange sounds, but it's 15 miles from Victoria. I only heard about it on the radio. Several booms each time and rumbling, but there were no earthquakes. A woman in souk said that the booms in March brought her barn down. So that is back to the ground being jolted enough and the matter and the material on the ground being jolted enough that a old barn fell down during this booms in the Victoria, British Columbia region. And somebody sent me a question about, well, what about fracking for natural gas? I've had so many emails over the last 2 months, and several people did research about where fracking may or may not be going on in Wisconsin. And there is a lot of fracking, apparently contracts and areas. But so far, unless somebody has more information, and if they do, email me at earthfiles@earthfiles.com. But my most current information is that the fracking operation, if it were going on between March 18th and yesterday, it is far west from Clintonville. And if anybody has any other information, let me know. But the fracking for natural gas, I don't know that it would explain 15 states in Canada. Do you think, George?
No, I don't think it would be that many at all. Let's go to Art, truck driving in Texas. Hello, Art. You're up.
Hi, yes. Sure. I wanted to talk about the people that have been waking out on the airlines.
Okay.
And we have the captain, we have that female flight attendant, and then that guy jumped out with a bottle of beer last year.
Right, and a woman yesterday who was drunk.
Right. Well, she was drunk. But you see, I suspect that there are a lot more people that are wigging out and not necessarily on a plane, but frequent flyers like are going to be more susceptible to that condition. And I suspect that what it may be is that my friends and I have been observing a layer of cloud, and it like blankets the sky, but it's thin. I'll call it a ribbon cloud. It's dark, like charcoal. It's like charcoal particles or dust up there. And it doesn't move with the air currents. You can see the like white puffy clouds moving along with the wind, but that particular layer of cloud doesn't move with the wind. It actually moves against the wind, and it moves with the wind, but it moves back and forth. And I'm thinking that that may have something to do with it.
What is the mechanism between an atmospheric cloud and a strong dynamite-like jolt underneath people's feet?
I don't know if they're related, but I'm just talking about the people that are freaking out on planes.
Well, okay, if it's focused there, but don't you think it's more likely that it is the extensive chemistry that humans are now ingesting in a number of ways that we may just be seeing suddenly a kind of overload?
Yes, yes. It could be so many things.
Well, that could be. Okay, well, thanks, Art. I mean, it's just, you know what's puzzling, Linda? Nobody can come up with a real rational explanation. We've all got possibilities, but they can't hone in on this.
Well, I think if every month 5 or 6 people started going berserk in airlines, then you would start to have a larger population to say there's definitely something is happening. But right now, it seems to me that all of these people, including the tragedy in Afghanistan, can be related to chemicals in bodies.
Next up, let's go to Santa Cruz, California. Hello, Tony. It's your turn.
Hey, thank you. Thank you.
Sure.
Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Hi. You said there was 14 or 15 states in the United States that have had this
Down and... Yeah, my list is 15, and I realize Lithuania is on there, and that's definitely on the other side of the planet. So it would be 13 states, Canada as a nation, and Lithuania as a nation, 15 total in since February.
Okay, you might want to do a little bit of research, because my daughter came up and told me day before yesterday. I didn't get to research it very much, but on KSBW in Monterey, they had a loud boom, and it rattled their windows from Soledad to Salinas to Pebble Beach, Monterey, Carmel, Marina. The article is still up on the Internet.
I did not know. I would like to read this and add it. That would then be adding another area of California to this.
Yeah, Central California.
And this was yesterday.
Yeah, this was Monday. It was actually, my daughter said it happened at 11:51 a.m.
Dad, you heard about this, George?
I have not. This is a first.
I tried to call you, George, last night. I couldn't get in. I wanted see if you had found out about that.
And so it's Monterey, California area, right?
Yeah, it's KSBW Action News. They did an article on it. They said that it was like a jet plane from a naval base that did a sonic boom or something like that. But people said it felt like it came from the ground.
Yeah, that is the confusion. That is definitely the confusion.
Right. And another thing, too, is I agree with a lot of the callers tonight that believe that the military-industrial complex has something to do with these underground facilities. I was watching, George, one of your Ancient Alien programs. Actually, it was last night, about how they found an underground city in Turkey underneath a mountain that would actually was capable of holding like 30,000 people. And that was... like 6,000 years ago or something like that. Are you familiar with that?
That could be Göbekli Tepe.
Yeah, that was it.
That's it.
No, not Göbekli Tepe. That was not
it. It was close to that place.
I know generally that there is an archaeological discovery that's underground in Turkey 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, and that may be what this reference was about. Göbekli Tepe...
They just found that, didn't they?
Yeah, has been being uncovered. In other words, they're removing soil so that they can see the pillars, which is not an underground city.
Okay, let's go to Houston, Texas. Dee's with us east of the Rockies. Hi, Dee. Thanks for calling.
Hi, George. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure thing.
First of all, I just want to say love your show.
Well, thank you.
Thank God you're here. You got me through some long nights. My question is there any relation to these booms coming from the ground? Would there be any relation to the horns that are coming from the sky?
Well, it is an excellent question. One of the videos that I received about a week and a half ago is from the San Antonio area of Texas. And it is one of the most haunting videos. It has rain in it. And in the rain is that TF-like sound. And when I think that is happening at exactly the same time, but in a different geography as these gigantic booms, neither one has gone away, is my point. But
I'm also wondering if it could be like some kind of communication.
I don't know. I mean, it is really an excellent question because... somehow people sort of pulled back, I think, because everyone was attacking the more musical sounds for being somebody's hoax, even though I think that was way overblown and overplayed.
Right.
This remarkable video is so haunting, is so eerie. I'm going to do a report at my news website, earthfiles.com. I have talked with a woman who heard the sound by phone, and we've been trying to find the actual videotaper so that I could interview them. But the sound is extraordinary. The same haunting Kiev type sort of choral sound in the rain. And if that's occurring now in San Antonio, while we've been tonight talking about the boom phenomenon, which is different but is as peculiar. One is as peculiar as the other, but they are very different. And to try to ascribe a common denominator like cause to both of them seems almost impossible, and yet they are both so strange that you can't help but wonder, is there some kind of relationship behind both of them?
All right, it's Michael Stern, Dallas, Texas. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Okay, Michael, thank you.
Oh, great. I got a couple of questions that might even kind of be supporting theories about the booms. I had seen a video that had detailed the DOMs, I guess, the deep underground military bases, and one photo had showed that it had the high-speed rails, and she had said that pilots had said that the sonic booms sound nothing like that, but, you know, breaking the sound barrier, but what would it sound like, basically, if you broke it underground? And also, a natural phenomena like maybe the solar things and our planet Nibiru or seismic activity, has anybody reported their animals freaking out? Because don't they usually like freak out and run away before earthquakes and other natural disasters?
I do have an email in one of, it's my part two having to do with booms. And I hope everybody will go to Earth Files and read these reports, because it's quite interesting, boom phenomena in several states. And in one of them, the woman is describing the reaction of her cats and dogs. One of the animals was born deaf, but when this explosive boom sound occurred, she realized that all of her animals reacted simultaneously, and that the deaf animal had to be reacting to vibration, mm-hmm. not to the sound. And I think that it is very important to realize that everyone, from police officers to professional people, have described that it felt like the bones in their skeleton shook. Now, that is pretty heavy-duty vibration for a few seconds.
Well, it sure is. And we remember the Indonesia quake a few years ago. The animals all headed for the hills pretty darn fast.
Yeah, but in this case, the animals are definitely reacting to both the sound and, in the deaf animal, to the vibration simultaneously.
Jim Berkland, Linda, our geologist, predicts earthquakes. One of the ways he does it, he looks at the paper for missing animal reports. And if he sees a lot of them, and, you know, he checks in on full moon and new moon, he comes up with his predictions. It's amazing.
Well, I want to encourage everyone who is listening to Coast to get in touch with me. If you do have some remarkable phenomena, especially if you get something recorded, the booms are very difficult because they come without warning, and they are extremely loud, and they last only a short time. And so far, I don't think anyone has gotten a really clear, good one on recording. If they have, please get in touch with me at earthfiles@earthfiles.com. Always think of a reporter who files news about the Earth. So it's earthfiles@earthfiles.com. And I would welcome your feedback on this kind of sound phenomena or any other, and I always, always respect requests for confidentiality.
We've got Johnny in Tempe, Arizona now. Go ahead, Johnny.
Yeah, what I was wondering is there any place in the United States that would be safe if we got hit with a mass coronal ejection? I know it's going to shut down the atomic power plants, and they're not going to get keep them running after the diesel fuel runs out, after electricity goes out.
Well, that's a good question. But,
yeah, it depends on the CME, if in your mind
The size of it.
You can think of the sun, and the Earth is 93 million miles away, and usually it takes somewhere between 2 to 4 days for the ejection from the sun to hit the Earth if it's going to. And all of that has to do with the geometry of the explosion on the sun in relationship to where the Earth will be in the future timeline. And that's why so many CMEs miss the Earth altogether. For there to be a square-on hit, it could take out satellites, it could bring down power grids, and that is the Defense Department's greatest fear.
Well, it sure is. Linda, almost out of time here. Any more travel beyond the Nashville event?
I will be leaving for the second weekend in April for Eureka Springs for that Ozark conference there. And then a month later, I'll be going to Nashville for that May conference there. And then I'm going to Göbekli Tepe in Turkey for 2 weeks.
Oh, you're going?
Yeah.
Super. That'll be fun. All right.
Yeah.
Well, you be safe, all right?
Yeah, well, thank you. And I'll see you guys in
April.
April.
You got it. Linda Moulton Howe, our roving reporter. Most reports will be the last Thursday of every month. During holidays and things, we adjust that for her. But most of the time, you'll find her here on the last Thursday of the month. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasore, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe.